We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Steve Bannon joins us about the disappointing continuing resolution update. And then we talk about Nikki Haley wanting to get your name and information if you are anonymous online. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Lots to cover. The big story that has been unfolding. We'll get to the CR. We'll get to Mike Johnson, the disappointment that he is, and we'll get to all that. But the story I want to lead with is critical. You cannot have a free society if you can't speak and can't be private. Privacy is a necessary prerequisite to a free society. We don't think about that very often. The ability to remain in the shadows if you so choose. The ability not to be exposed and surveilled by your government is critical. You cannot have freedom if you do not have privacy, if you so choose. If you're constantly being surveilled, constantly being monitored, how can you be free? Of course, the prophet, the modern day prophet who articulated this better than anybody else, is George Orwell. Orwell wrote extensively in 1984. About how if there are constant eyes on you, monitoring your behavior, monitoring your actions, you cannot be free. Now, of course, free speech is one that we talk about all the time, but privacy, not as much. And if we are honest, Republicans have been worse until recently than Democrats on the privacy issue. We will cover this as it's looming, but a renewal of the FBI's Patriot Act is coming up in December. Keep your eyes on that. That's why Christopher Wray is testifying in front of Congress about, well, you know, there's all these threats on the homeland. They want a renewal. Well, that's not what we're talking about today, but keep your eye on that. The ability to speak freely, and if you so choose, to not put your name behind it, is a constitutionally protected freedom and a God-granted right. In October of 1787, the first in a series of 85 essays arguing for the ratification of the Constitution appeared in the Independent Journal under the pseudonym Publius, addressed to the people of the state of New York. We now call these the Federalist Papers. I believe the Federalist Papers are the third most important canon of documents for someone to read and understand what did the founders think about the formulation of the U.S. Constitution. The most important document, I believe, is the Declaration, then the Constitution. I could get into why that's for an AMA and Ask Me Anything episode on Friday. You have to understand the Declaration, then, of course, the Constitution. They're basically tied for one, but if you have to make a list, one, two, and then the Federalist Papers. One, two, three. Federalist Papers is where you get so many of these quotes that are mentioned. Well, not men are angels, and if all men were angels, government would not be necessary. That's from the Federalist Papers. The Federalist Papers, and there were the Anti-Federalist Papers, these were published in New York newspapers as a way to defend the coming ratification push for states to adopt the U.S. Constitution. Now, remember, the United States was a country They tried the Articles of Confederation. Didn't work great. So they needed to have some sort of small but strong federal government. The authors of the Federalist Papers knew that if they put their names behind the Federalist Papers, that people would be more focused on them as people and politicians than the arguments themselves. You could make the argument that the U.S. Constitution may not have been ratified if Hamilton, Madison, and Jay actually put their names behind the Federalist Papers. Think about how true this is, by the way. Think about how many times that we, for better or for worse, inject our biases into an op-ed or a tweet as soon as we see who is writing that tweet. I fall victim to that. I immediately, if I see something published by Tucker Carlson, I give it much more weight. If I see something published by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think it's almost immediately shallow. It takes a lot to try to strip yourself of that bias and look at the argument itself and then say, is that a good idea or a bad idea? Some of the most powerful writings in the modern era come from people online that do not put their name that they would go by. For example, one of our favorite guests on this program, Citizen Kane, citizenfreepress.com. Citizen Kane goes by a pseudonym. And he's on the show today, by the way. I'm not going to ask him his real name. I'm not going to try to find his identity. He wants to operate with anonymity, and he has a constitutional, God-given right to not be doxxed, not be smeared, not be harassed. It is a mark of an unfree society when the government wants to insert themselves to find out the name, the details of every person that is speaking. Now, mind you, for a short moment, I once entertained the stupid idea that the way to fix social media is through identity verification. For a short moment, I once believed this. I don't know if I ever said it publicly. If I did, it was stupid. But then somebody confronted me with the facts, and you should always reconsider your opinions. People that are not reconsidering their opinions, you're a zealot at that point. You should look at the facts. You should look at the details. And it's like, oh, that's actually a really dumb idea. By the way, Elon Musk at one point said, well, maybe we should have people verified. And then you realize that it is a not just a right, but what makes speech possible in the modern era is if you want to be anonymous, you could be anonymous. Writing with pseudonyms was the norm in 1787 through 88. Using the pseudonym concealed the identity of just one writer. Maybe this is a hangover from the more dangerous revolutionary days, but it persisted in American political writing for a long time, and the purpose was always to hide one's identity. By not revealing their identities, they were able to focus on the content of the essays rather than the personal reputations or political affiliations. I don't know who wrote this, but it's very similar to what I said previously. This allowed them to be effectively appealed to a broader audience and gain support for the Constitution. Exactly what I said. You focus on the argument, not the person. A leading Republican, not leading in the polls, but someone who gets a lot of attention, disagrees with this. Nimarata Haley. Yeah, that's right. Her real name is Nimarata. Wants you to hand over your driver's license to the federal government to be able to use social media. Not only is this a bad idea, it's repulsive. This makes us no better than social credit score Chinese Communist Party tyrants that want every last detail of a populace that you're already crushing with the boot of the federal government. Play cut 57 of Nimarata Haley. Play cut 57.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithms. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name. That's, first of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden, people have to stand by what they say, and it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get some civility when people know their name is next to what they say.
Accountability.
And they know their pastor and their family member is going to see it. It's going to help our kids, and it's going to help our country.
It doesn't sound irrational, right? Yeah, let's have everyone say their name. You know how many millions of people that follow us? I wouldn't say millions. Let's be fair. Hundreds of thousands of people that follow us with anonymous accounts. You know why? They're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're afraid they're going to be kicked out of a sorority, a fraternity. And God bless them for still wanting to engage in the discourse online without ruining their life. Maybe they're a federal employee. Maybe they are doing the Lord's work in an institution that is primary left wing. Maybe they're a serviceman. Maybe they're a police officer, firefighter. Maybe they are, God bless them, a federal agent in San Francisco. Nikki Haley wants to require them. Show yourself, citizen, and I shall make a better internet. All right, you've probably heard me. It's actually now 25 pounds that I have lost. And I'm sure some of you say, oh, Charlie, I've tried everything. That was me. You know, my first Zoom call with my PhD weight loss, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, come on, guys. All right, I've heard this whole thing before. And boy, was I wrong. They know what they're doing, my PhD weight loss. Look, this is 100% legit. And people say, well, Charlie, you've lost so much weight. And I say, yeah, my PhD weight loss, hello. But look, they have a different approach. And it's Dr. Ashley Lucas. She's great. I text with her. She does a really, really good job. 25 pounds, I'll tell you. And I have more energy and I'm healthier than ever before. Here's why. The program rids your body of the inflammation that is causing so many health problems. If you look around today, America is the fattest it has ever been. Our families, friends, and neighbors are dying of diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's, now called T3 diabetes. PhD has helped so many people who want to have a good, active life, play with their grandkids, travel, hike to a waterfall, go for a bike ride, but their weight was holding them hostage. They don't want any of you on experimental drugs for your brain degeneration from Alzheimer's or homebound with an oxygen tank for heart failure. My PhD weight loss knows that losing weight is the best thing for overall health. We are way too fat as a society. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you say, boy, I'm a little overweight, it's perfectly fine. Do something about it. Use your free will, your agency. Say, you know what? I'm just not where I want to be. This is an empowerment tool for you. All of these things can be prevented. You look at heart disease, what they now call diabesity. By the way, there's a great new book by Dr. Peter Attia about longevity. You want to live long? Lose weight. Look, Dr. Ashley Lucas, she is the master of this, and she is the genius behind my PhD weight loss. So you can call them today at 864-644-1900. That is 864-644-1900. By the way, this is not like a sign up and you're automatically going to lose weight. You got to do some work. You got to apply yourself. It's not a too good to be true thing. But if you have motivation, they will channel that motivation towards a very positive, measurable, and real outcome. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. That is myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Physician and dietitian developed, individually delivered. Again, I lost 25 pounds and I feel great. If you think you've tried everything, you're wrong until you say you've tried my PhD weight loss. They map you as a whole person. It's not like, hey, just read this book. No. It's a deep dive. It's personalized. It's going to get results for you. MyPhDweightLoss.com. Anonymity is a protected right. Nikki Haley actually agrees with that. Nikki Haley blasted Letitia James last year for leaking her donors. Quote, Nikki Haley accused Letitia James of leaking the names of her anonymous donors. By the way, I totally support anonymous donations. I think the ability to give money anonymously is a constitutional right. It comes with a cost. At times you do not know who is funding what, but the ability for someone to remain private to donate a political cause is a constitutional right. Overall, it's actually a great check against tyranny to have anonymous donations. We know why they don't want anonymous donations. They want to be able to target the funders of the organizations and movements and political candidates that they don't like. I don't think foreigners should be able to buy their way into American politics. That is in some way a separate issue, though. That's already banned by federal law. So if you're running a 527, running a campaign, you by law are not allowed to have foreign donations come in. You're not. Now, 501c4s technically can, and groups like Greenpeace and all these other ones are taking very suspicious money from China. Also, the Swiss guy, billionaire that we talked about last week. But what else was written anonymously? Nikki Haley is really big into finding the identity of all people. Did you know that the book of Hebrews in the Bible is written anonymously? Traditionally, people thought that Paul the Apostle wrote it, but since the year 300, it's really been debated. It's canonized. It is in the Holy Scriptures. We don't know who wrote it. Now, obviously, the ultimate author is God. But the person who transcribed it, who was it? Should we remove it, Nikki Haley? We don't know the identity of the author of the book of Hebrews. Should we get rid of it since we don't know that? Some of the great works in the history of literature were done under pseudonyms or different names. Some people speculate that Shakespeare wrote under a pseudonym. Some people. Here's a good rule. The more tyrannical a civilization gets, the more necessary anonymous speech is. If we were living in a perfectly free society and everything was just humming along, it would still be a bad idea, Nikki Haley, but it wouldn't be as threatening of an idea. Imagine the implications of this, that every single person online must hand over their driver's license. How is that not in a rapid expansion of the police state? This is Nimarata Haley continuing, play cut 63.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts. Now, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithm. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name.
I don't know. Who put that in there? That's not fair. AI is going to destroy our politics. Nikki Haley would want to find the person who made that. Think about the implications. This is a regime push thing. If Nikki Haley is pushing it, that means it's regime verified. Douglas Mackey goes to prison for making a meme, making fun of Hillary Clinton. Douglas Mackey originally published it under a pseudonym. They found him. Being able to communicate with privacy not only is a respected right and a constitutional right, but it also protects liberty. Tyrants want to find the identity of any dissident so that they can punish those people that speak against them. Do you know probably why Nikki Haley is saying this? Because she's really bothered by all the comments in her Twitter feed. Let's be honest. She is probably flipping through her social and she sees negative, 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 negative. I haven't actually looked at her social media. I would imagine that was it. And a tyrant or someone that has tyrannical impulses thinks, I want to know their names. Hold them accountable. Sometimes you have to receive criticism if you're a public figure from people that do not show their name. That is the beauty of freedom of speech. And I got to tell you, Nikki Haley is getting attacked from every direction for this awful idea. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Joining us now is Steve Bannon. Steve, welcome to the program. Steve, loved your show this morning. Steve, I want to pick up kind of what you were saying. You had something really smart you said this morning. You said that what a missed opportunity of leverage for House Republicans. In a lot of M&A deals, you might have, on the surface, very little leverage. In reality, you have more than you realize if you're willing to use it. I'm very disappointed, Steve. Speaker Johnson and the Republicans worked with Schumer and McConnell and with Jeffries to give them everything they wanted. We had the biggest leverage. Thanksgiving and Christmas break was the leverage, and we punted it away. Steve, your thoughts.
Punted it away, but it's good news, Charlie. Just a few minutes ago, the House conservatives didn't pass the rule like we did the other day on this rule, and everybody's gone home. We shut down debate on a couple more appropriations bills, just a furor of people just saying, this is outrageous. Remember, what Johnson did here is that the rule couldn't get to even the rule to the floor. It had been defeated on the floor by Republicans, and it couldn't get out of committee, couldn't get out of rules. And Johnson went around us to do a suspension rule where you need 2/3 of the House. That means he knew he's going to depend upon 200 Democrats. So this is a teaching moment. I think I'm a big supporter of Speaker Johnson if he mans up. You know, I said today he's got a biblical worldview. He's a very devout Christian. But in this regard, you know, the meek may inherit the earth, but only the strong, the bold, and quite frankly, the mean are going to take on this nest of vipers up on Capitol Hill. We saw Jesus Christ, our Lord, had to go into the temple and take the bullwhip and flip some stuff over and get the money changers out of there. That's exactly what we have in the nation's capital. And it's going to take church vigilant Christians to be able to take this on. And it's outrageous right now. We had huge leverage. And basically gave it away for 75 days. And my question is, what's going to change in 75 days? So I think this is your audience, the Sobics, the War Room, Real American Voice, all of our radio audience and podcasts, and we got to get to the ramparts. And we're going to have a Donnybrook. And I think every day we got to put people on notice. And on January 17th, the government's got to shut down unless we get massive cuts and a sealed border. Don't get sealed border and massive cuts, then there's no use going forward.
Yeah, so Steve, walk our audience through the Thanksgiving Christmas deal. We were both on the exact same page. Why wouldn't the Republicans shut down the government? That's not even a big thing. And have Thanksgiving at the Capitol. Now we're supposed to believe that in January there's going to be this massive influx of courage and willingness. Right now is the time. If there's any time to do, quote unquote, the unpopular, do it before Christmas, and then people forget about it in time for the new year. What is Speaker Johnson thinking here? And I'll be honest, Steve, you know, he's a Christian man, but he's being dishonest. He said, as soon as he got in, no more CRs, we're going to do 12 separate bills. That's just not true. It's not true. You punted this thing away. We had Thanksgiving. We had Christmas. You could have shut it down, make the old bulls in the Senate not go home for Thanksgiving, make them do the work. What is the argument here, Steve? I'm not sympathizing
it was to force them to shut down the regime, to defund the Biden regime, and to use that time to really hammer through tough cuts. I mean, we have to have massive cuts. I walked through the day that, you know, it's this last deficit was $2 trillion. This current deficit is going to be $2 trillion. The interest expense is exploding. The interest expense is going to be double what it was last year. And it was $600 billion, which is double the year before. We can't sell the bonds. A moment of crisis is here. That's why you have to act urgently. That's why we needed Thanksgiving and Christmas. And what they should have done is said, bring everybody to the Capitol. Let's send the congressman that day out to the food banks around town.
Yep.
To share America's abundance with the poor. That's biblical. And then get back to work. Go back to the Capitol in the afternoon and work all the way through Christmas. I mean, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you asked him, he said, hey, I'm trying to save the New Jerusalem, the American Republic, or, you know, I go to church on to commemorate and celebrate your birth, but we got to get to work. He would say, absolutely, not even a question. Get on with it. This is what's so – they're working in a schedule that is a normal course of business schedule. And Speaker Johnson's got to understand, the War Room posse is just not going to accept this. This is why today we come bombarded with calls and they had to pull these appropriations bills. I think they're going to send everybody home here in the next couple of hours and not even stick around till tomorrow when they were going to leave, because he knows he's jammed right now. We've essentially stopped it and said this is unacceptable.
Yeah. So, but Steve, you know, the War Room posse is a working class audience. I find it really insulting. I would imagine at least half of your audience at some point had to work on Christmas or Thanksgiving. Had to bring in some extra income for the family, police officer, firefighter, emergency, you know, HVAC call, military, you know, ER, nurse, you name it. I mean, at times, Steve, you got to go to work. I like being off for Thanksgiving. You like being off for Thanksgiving. But sometimes you just got to go to work. So I'm going, okay, it's not how I want it to be. And yet Republicans, they want to go home. They want to be able to rest on their laurels and delight in the excess. Borders wide open, $2 trillion. Steve, you do a better show than anybody else. Talk about just the fiscal and financial calamity. No cuts. And I'm really supposed to believe that Speaker Johnson is going to be able to unite the tribes in January of an election year to be able to cut spending. They're just going to do another CR, or they'll do something around the edges and trim $10 billion here or $10 billion there. It's a joke. And we had all this leverage. The bad guys did not want to shut down. We gave them what they wanted. Steve.
You just said in an election year. Now think about it for a second. We're going home now, having given them a clean CR, of which Hakeem Jeffries, and this is why I played the Morning Joe thing. They rubbed their noses in it this morning, and they should have rubbed their noses in it this morning. They should have mocked us. It's mockable. It should be mocked. There's only between now and 17 January, there's only 21 work days for Congress. For 8 weeks, there's only 21 work days. It's unbelievable. And they're going to stick to that schedule. And I said, people told me, says, you don't understand the strategy that the moderates and the New York contingent and Don Bacon and this crowd have to go back and socialize, you know, these cuts. And I said, what do you mean socialize the cuts? Financial Times reporting only 14% of Americans think their lives are financially better off right now. Everybody understands the lived experience of Americans right now is horrific because of inflation and now because of the structural change in interest rates. We can't sell the bonds. Another story out today on Business Insider. It's easier to sell bonds from Morocco and Vietnam than it is from the United States because we have such a massive amount of financing that has to be done. And people are afraid they buy a 30 right now and 5% or above, that interest rates go up. 30-year bonds right now trade at 50 cents on the dollar. So we're in a financial crisis. It has to be addressed as a financial crisis. That doesn't mean half days. And Charlie, you said it. Normally, nothing gets done in election year. Now he proposes that we're going to come back in January, face the biggest financial crisis, where he just said yesterday, this sets us up. This is his quote. This sets us up for a series of significant conservative victories, starting with the two-ladder approach in January, February. Well, brother, he's going to have to make that presentation because I'm not feeling it. I tell you right now, the right wing of the party is on fire and the people are on fire because they understand in their lived experience, this is only not a catastrophe today, but it's going to get worse, and they want it to stop.
Yeah, I just want to tell you, here's how it's going to work. And then, Steve, I have a very pointed question for you. The moderates are going to come back from Christmas break, and they're all going to have a meeting with Johnson and be like, Johnson, we had a bunch of town halls. By the way, they're not doing town halls. That's a bunch of crap. You know that, Steve. They're going to be going, getting drunk with lobbyists and, you know, doing a bunch of town halls. Give me a break. They'll do one coffee with a bunch of insiders and say, yeah, I was talking to my voters. Yeah, okay. But they're going to come back to, you know, Mike Johnson and be like, yeah, Mike, our district, boy, we're in a tough race. And I saw a lot of ads against me. We can't do anything controversial, Mike. It's an election year. Let's just punt till after Election Day. You know, November, let's do a CR to November 15th. And after Election Day, let's just clean this up so we can campaign, so we can keep the House Mike Johnson. Steve, you're trying to tell me that they're going to be doing a bunch of struggle listening sessions in their districts? Like, we're supposed to believe that this is the reason they did this, that they need to go back to listen to their voters and, oh, yeah, great point, all this. I got a pointed question, Steve. Why did Mike Johnson do this?
Sir.
Why? Was he being blackmailed, smeared, threatened, bad advice? This is inconsistent with the character of a man that so many we had high hopes for.
I believe strongly that is because he has been overwhelmed, the psyop of quote-unquote a government shutdown, which we say, bring it. If we get to midnight on Friday, Saturday is a great day. Why? Because the gun's to their head, not to ours. We welcome this. We don't look at it as a negative. We look at it as a positive. The reason it's a positive, it's another piece of leverage. It's another hammer. All of a sudden, Hakeem Jeffries and Schumer and McConnell and Biden are the ones scrambling. And that's when you can get the best deals, not when you give up time. Time is our friend here. The restrictions of time are always our friend. You have to, with the what we have to squeeze every ounce of advantage from these moments. And you can't kick it down the road. I think he fell into the trap of D.C. He's got a lot of McCarthy guys still around on his staff. All of the Fox and Murdoch News Network, but government shutdown, government shutdown, government shutdown. The Murdochs, being the business class, want things to go on as it is. And what they want to do is exactly what you're saying. When they come back, and remember, on his schedule, what the audience to understand is on his schedule, the best case, we will be halfway through this fiscal year this fiscal year, which started October 1st, before we even approved any budget. On the best case, we'd be halfway through the year approving something that basically had a $1.5 trillion to $2 trillion deficit that has to be financed, and immediately go in to next fiscal year, which we should have by July or August, with another $2 trillion deficit. The Damocles sword over the American Republic right now is out of control spending and a drop in revenue, where we're going to have in perpetuity $2 trillion deficits. They're just not financeable. People under 30 years old, and I would say now probably 35 years old, are staring in the face a life of Russian serfdom, where you're not going to own anything. You're never going to be able to buy a house. You're going to have a country that has at best 1.5 to 2% growth, going to have high inflation and structurally high interest rates. Your life is about to change here radically, because what the uniparty political class has done and the gutlessness of those people to face some just basic math. This is not quantum mechanics. This is pretty straightforward. And Mike Johnson's got to understand, he's either got a man up here, and I mean, go back, and I keep saying, hey, go to the last book of the Bible. You got a biblical worldview? Well, go to the book of Revelations and read the section on come and see, because that mantra, come and see the destruction of the American Republic on your watch, where you're one of the people responsible.
It's a disappointment. It's going to pass. The Senate's going to approve it. Joe Biden will sign it. By the way, Schumer's celebrating. He sent out a press release. This is so great. We get to go back for Christmas. We had all this leverage. What the regime wanted was a clean Christmas break. Honestly, for nothing else, we should have just said, no, you're staying in D.C. Get to work, you old bulls.
Exactly.
You've ruined this country. Steve, I want to play some of this clip of you on the circus. I think it was awesome. I think you did great. By the way, I'm sure they edited it selectively, right, Steve? I'm sure it was this long.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, yeah. And so I could tell.
Two and a half hours, and they used 5 minutes. Two and a half. And Kerry Lake gave 30, a full beatdown of Holman and Miller, and they used not a second.
You always have to record it yourself, right? You always got to record it yourself, then you could use it. They hate it because they want editorial control. I love this. Play cut 69.
I'm so sick of people say election is about the future. Yeah. That is total bullshit.
Are they the voters?
It's about the lived experience of the voters.
Yeah.
Because the lived experience of their lives sucks. And the reason it sucks is a fucking unfeeling uniparty in Washington, D.C. that says, go fuck yourself. You're nothing but serfs, and we don't give a shit about you.
Steve, the regime, and dare I say Speaker Johnson, just did the same thing. Go F yourself. We need our own. We need Thanksgiving break. We need Christmas. And by the way, Steve, you know, you've done some of the biggest deals in business that people know of, both in media and otherwise. You know what it's like to work 20-hour days. Is the House Republican Conference really, you know, putting the leather down? Or are they right now on flights back to their back home? I think they're going back. I think done. They've closed the place up, right?
Well, they're supposed to go tomorrow, but I think we shut down even well. I think there was a revolt this afternoon or late this morning to say we're not passing any more of this crap. Right. We're not going to do these appropriations bills right now because they don't have deep enough cuts. There's been a revolt. One thing, Charlie, remember for the audience, this is Nancy Pelosi's numbers. Let that sink in for a second. We have accepted now Nancy Pelosi's budget numbers, and we're spending to with not one penny cut of Nancy Pelosi's budget. Not only did you're 100% correct, shock and awe of saying, hey, we ain't going anywhere and we're going to work 20-hour days. And we'll work all the way through the end of the New Year's Day, right? Would have put this town in shock, and you would have seen a lot of deals being cut. They didn't do that, and they acquiesced to take Nancy Pelosi's numbers. And her policy, not one change of policy, not one change of a dollar.
Can you think of a moment ever where the Democrats capitulated to Republicans and gave them what they wanted, Steve? Ever?
It's never happened. Nancy Pelosi, for as much as I know people hate her, she's a hammer. Never. They lock in unison. They get a game plan and then they roll. And their game plan is always as far left as they can possibly take it. Their default position is always far left. That's why you have this woke and weaponized government. And Republicans, listen, we're not $34 trillion in debt now with $2 trillion annual deficits, because the Republican Party, the Uniparty's rolled over for year after year after year after year. It was only the MAGA house. It's only Trump's inspiration for people to get engaged in the precinct strategy. And now you have new voices, and you have voices farther to the right that's even gotten us to this place to say, no, we must stop this madness. There must be not just cuts, massive budget cuts today, and a sealed border that leads to mass deportations, that the two crises of the invasion of the country and the financial crisis in the capital markets are inextricably linked, must be addressed. It must be addressed now. We're not kicking the can down the road. We've done that for decades, year after year, decade after decade. And the Democrats have been unmovable. That's how we're in this situation. That's why you see the fighters now that tossed off McCarthy. And I got to tell you, Speaker Johnson has to do some real reflection, because if he's not up to the task, I think the honorable thing for him to do is just resign. If he's not up to the task to step into the breach and be like, be as close to Christ as possible and going into the temple and driving out the money changers in our nation's capital, then it's time to just be a man of honor, say, look, I was a great constitutional lawyer. I fought for all these social issues. This is just too much for me. Step aside and let's get the next man up.
I mean, I totally agree. And Steve, it's just, it's gone. By the way, we can lament all we want. The leverage is gone. We had this amazing opportunity where the regime had an ask. The regime had an ask, and their ask was a demand more than an ask, right, Steve? We want time off for Thanksgiving and Christmas, period. They showed their hand. We know what the old bulls wanted. We know what Hakeem wanted. We know what the bad guys wanted. Rarely in a deal, Steve, and you've done huge deals, do the bad guys show what they want more than anything else, and you can prevent it. So we just said, you're not getting that. You're working every day now to New Year's. Scared yet? And yeah, it would have been warfare. But guess what? The country's collapsing. Instead, Mike Johnson said, here you go, Chuck Schumer. Would you like me to polish it for you? How can I help you, Chuck Schumer? And that's exactly what we get now with Speaker Johnson. All right, Steve Bannon, great job. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Charlie, thanks, man.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.